Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 80, Text 23. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Uchalam Malinam Shamam Grijam Damani Satatam. Devi prayacharat sakshat chamara yajjanenava. By fanning him with her chamara, the divine goddess of fortune personally served that poor Brahmin, whose clothing was torn and dirty, and it was so thin that veins were visible all over the body. Omagena timarandasya. Yananjana Shalakaya Naksurumutam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Mancha Kalpa Parubhyascha Vipashindu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from New Jersey, and this afternoon at 6 p.m. I'll be headed to Yoga Maya for a class, and then Tuesday at 8 I'll have one at Jiva Mukti, and a lot of classes next week too. I just came back from Henry's house. We had a really wonderful time there, and it's so nice, the people that I've been going to their studio for many years, really seem now are devotees. And it's so nice to have these classes, and I realized lately with intense traveling, sometimes they've been disrupted, but it's really my satisfaction when I'm, you know, in a place where the classes become really my focus. And I kind of feel that way today. Because I see the effect, it's a cumulative effect of hearing how it's really, today I'm giving this class on the skill of happiness, and it's basically all philosophy, basically, because, I mean, happiness is actually the goal. If you have any other goal, it's only a means to happiness. And I was just thinking, you know, it's really small things that we do can change us significantly. And I do see that people who have made the commitment to hear this class regularly and share with me the sacred teachings on the Shastra, I see the transformation in practically all the people who regularly do that. Good ideas come from sacred texts. And when we dwell on those good ideas, we get good thoughts that change our life. So I think wherever I am is because I give these classes, actually, because this is where I get my good ideas from. Of course, I have the fortune of teaching it. I guess there's a saying, once taught, twice learned. But we really have to look at just small victories in our spiritual life. It has to begin with some kind of conviction or faith. And that faith is going to come from good ideas. Yes, 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 this is what I should do. It's truth. I just haven't been concentrating on that truth. I haven't been seeing that truth very clearly. But now I do. And that's what really moves us forward in our spiritual life. Of course, not just the hearing, but the application. But without the hearing, where is the application? Unless you already know it, have some understanding, or you already have some strong faith. But even that faith, that shraddha, it becomes renewed by hearing. So we're reading this story, Sudamana Brahman, a little bit later in the 10th canto, and it's the result of Maharaj Prickett's hearing. He's heard, and the result is his bhakti is increased, and he's more eager to hear. And it's not just that he just heard the 10th canto. He wants to hear more glories about his Ishtadev, the form of God, the manifestation of God, the relationship of God, whom he desires to have a relationship with. And Sukadeva Goswami begins to narrate this very, very wonderful story of this really poor Brahmin. And I think what we're going to see in these stories is what the Bhagavatam tries to do is change our value system and change our perspective. Even here, you'll see this poor Brahmin comes in from the perspective of the people there. He's not respectable because his clothes are so torn and dirty. He's so thin. The veins on his body. But the real opulence is something we may not see externally. Of course, external appearance says something about your consciousness too, but it's not an absolute perspective. So, even though he's like this, God's vision is different, and we'll say we're getting God's vision. God is seeing the heart. We can't bluff God. We think that in our secret space, no one is seeing. But ultimately, the most important person to view our activities is God. And we sometimes may be surprised the difference between what he's attracted to and what we're attracted to. Who he thinks are the top devotees and who we think are the top devotees. I saw a nice posting by the new Pope, Pope Francis, who seems... They've chosen this time someone who it seems, I don't know, I can't make people say all kinds of things, but I don't know much about it, but seems to be a spiritual person. And the statement was, something about he's disappointed with pastors or priests who see the hierarchy of the church, something in relationship to their own ambitions. Of course, you can't make that statement either because someone is in the hierarchy, he's not saintly either. It's just not an absolute correlation. And who may be the great devotees? Maybe someone who's just joined the movement. It may be someone who's not seeing. It may be someone who is seeing. But the Bhagavatam wants to give us the standard to judge so that we can make the proper evaluation of ourselves and move forward in Krishna consciousness. Anyway, this Brahmin comes. He's so poor. His wife is practically starving. She asks him to go to see Krishna, who's an old school head, school friend. And wants to bring Krishna something. See, he can only beg and put a little cloth, some chipped rice. Bhakti is an exchange. And if we want bhakti, we participate in that exchange with God and with others. We give gifts, we accept gifts. Guya Majachi Pichati, we inquire in confidence, we explain in confidence. Bhute Bhojiate Jaiva. We give prasad, we accept prasad. How important instruction. Upadeshamrita by Srila Rupa Goswami. The cultivation of bhakti is not just in our heart, in the world, in relationship with others. And the saddest thing for myself is to see when the culture is not practiced, when that environment is not there. A lot of times we were talking about ritual. I had a lot of discussions with Mahamuni about this after he studied Confucius and became inspired by an insight into ritual to conform our lives to something greater than ourselves so that we can become self-overcoming, self in the sense of looking at things, looking at happiness external to the self. Actually, happiness is a joy that doesn't come to the self, but it radiates from the self. Joy, that's what real happiness is. It radiates from the self. And it radiates from the self when you stop seeking to have it move towards the self. You have to become humble. You have to become in a mood of service. You have to move out of the center. And therefore, there's a culture that helps us to do that, which conforms us to something greater than ourselves. That's why it's so important to respect elders, not just certainly gurus and teachers and senior Vaishnavas, but not just that. Parents, grandparents, respecting elders. Just it's so healthy. Anytime we put in our position of to experience love. Anyway, he comes reluctantly because he's so not an intellectual process. He's got some scars in his heart and appreciates God so much and values God so much and values service to God so much. And he's reluctant to ask anything. When you come to teacher, when you come to someone of respect, an elder, you don't want service. you want to serve. But that's love. So if you have this love, you're not coming and asking. Oh, the issue of the Prabhupada, can you give me a loan for my new car? He's doing it reluctantly. As his wife convinces him. And therefore, he understands it intellectually that he should go see Krishna, and that he finally understands his duty. But we saw how so much it's against his nature. One second, something here I got to address. Okay. So somehow or other, I guess his Baba, Krishna's arrangement, he doesn't think he'll get by because of his dress. Somehow he gets by and Krishna gets off his throne and embraces him because he values his heart. He values his humility. That's what dependence and humility does. It becomes a magnet for the love, protection, and care of others. I can see that with my own mother, who's now, next month will be 92. And I see she was such a strong woman up until like a year ago when she was driving her car. And now just can't, you know, time and tide wait for no man. As the English king was so proud, he tried to stop the tide. Time and tide wait for no man. So the old age is coming and she has to walk very, very carefully and I mean, she's fine, but her remembrance is not as good. And she's become dependent. And I see with the family how it attracts so much more love and care and attention and tolerance towards her. The same relationship with God. We get free from ego and we become tolerant. It attracts love. Krishna's love. Krishna's mercy. Krishna got up and worshipped him because he was a Brahmin. And was his devotee, and now the goddess of fortune is serving. The people in the royal palace were astonished to see Krishna, the Lord of spotless glory, so lovingly honor this shabbily dressed Brahmin. Avadutam sabhajitam. They honored with pati pritya, such intense affection, vismata, they are amazed. Abhut, vismata, vismato, bhu, pati priyat. He became amazed with such pati pritya, such intense affection. He's honoring this Avadutam, one who is the opposite of what he is. Because from a social standpoint, projects something so undesirable. But here Krishna is giving him so much respect. The residents of the palace said, "What pious act has this unkempt, impoverished Brahmana performed? Avadutena Siyahinena." People regard him as lowly and contemptible. Adanena Kahitena Loke. In this world, people think of him as lowly and contemptible. Yet the spiritual master of the three worlds, the abode of Goddess Sri, is serving him reverentially. Leaving the goddess of fortune sitting on her bed, the goddess Lord has embraced this Brahmin as if he were an older brother. Sukadeva Goswami continued, taking each other's hands, Haro Via Rastaram, O King, take Krishna and Sudama talk pleasantly, how they once lived together in the school of their guru. Katiyam gata purva guru kule shato. No. The Supreme Lord said, "My dear Brahmana, you know well the ways of Dharma. And you offered the gifts of remuneration to our guru and returned home from school. Did you marry a compatible wife or not?" See, he was so shabbily dressed that they couldn't tell if he was married or not. Sometimes in India, you'll see a sadhu, and you assume he's renounced, but he may be married. He just may be very poor. And purport, among civilized human beings, the question of ashram or spiritual order is significant. In other words, every human being must execute prescribed duties as a celibate student, a married man or woman, retired person, or renunciate. So, this is Dharma. What is your ashram? Since Lord Krishna could see that the Brahmin was poorly dressed, he inquired if his friend had been properly married and was executing the duties of a household wife. Since he was not dressed as a renunciate, he would be without a suitable ashram unless he was... you were properly married. So anyway, this is Krishna's concern. Are you situated properly? Are you situated properly? Because if you're not situated properly, according to Vana and Ashram, it will be hard to have the strength to pursue the higher endeavor of self-realization. Bhaktivinod Thakur was asked, what's the relationship between Varnashram and Krishna consciousness? He said, Varnashram promotes physical health by giving you a proper education, that's a proper occupation, that is healthy for you, your psychophysical nature. Of course, that makes you peaceful. And because the proper people are trained and situated in the proper positions in society, then it's socially peaceful. Just like when you have government leaders that are not real kshatriyas, not really noble, but they're vices, not even good ones. But, you know, if they have other types of mentality, not noble mentality, then the whole society suffers. Look at the mess we're in now. It makes such a difference that you have good leaders. Same thing with the ashram. So unless one is situated properly, then the higher endeavors become more difficult. Even though you are mostly involved in household affairs, your mind is not affected by material desires, nor, O learned one, do you take much pleasure in the pursuit of material wealth. This I am well aware of. So a real Brahmin doesn't have such an emotional connection with money. A Vaishya has an emotional connection with money. There's a love affair there. So Krishna is realizing he's his friend. He's learned and spiritually advanced, and therefore he was not interested in ordinary sense gratification, as is the common man. He was interested in the elevation of consciousness. So he didn't have that drive. And also he was so detached. This was not his faith. His faith was not in moving the world according to his desires. His faith was in moving his desires according to the world in a mode of service with a full cognizance that real happiness is the change of consciousness. And the ultimate change of consciousness, the ultimate fruition of consciousness is love. So he was detached. So therefore that, you know, it's not that one who is detached shouldn't work if he needs money, and that's not his responsibility, but he just doesn't have the same drive and vision for it. What I see in people is people have different desires and they have different visions how to do things. One who has a vision how to make money, you can put him any place, he still sees millions of dollars. It's an amazing phenomenon. The one who doesn't, they can't see how to do it. I know I have a vision for certain things in philosophy, and if I go to a festival, how things should be organized, different things I have. Others I don't. Rati Krishna has been trying to teach me for like 3-4 years how to put from my computer the lectures I have on my iPhone. It's so simple to so many people. I become frozen. This is really, he's detached. Put that Siddhartha Brahman, but anytime you're detached from something, you generally don't develop the skills to accrue it, and even if you have to, you become a little bit bewildered in doing it. 30. Kichit kurvanti karmani kamaya hasti chetasa dijanta prakritiya daivya yataham lokasangam. Having renounced all material propensities which spring from the Lord's illusory energy, some people execute worldly duties with their minds undisturbed by mundane desires. They act as I do to instruct the general public. Some people are in the world, but they act properly in the world, not because of desires developed from the ego, the desire to be the controller and the enjoyer, which spring from the false conception of life. So having renounced all material propensities which spring from that, some people may still work and execute worldly duties, and they're undisturbed. They don't, their minds don't have mundane desires, even though they're working. And this is classic. You see a karma in karma. They're working, but you don't see any trace of fruit of intention or selfishness. My dear Brahman, do you remember how we lived together in our spiritual master's school? When a twice-born student has learned from his guru all that is to be learned, he can enjoy spiritual life, which lies beyond all ignorance. So he's complimenting these Brahmins, this Brahmin. But he's learned from his guru, and therefore he can enjoy spiritual life because he's learned from his guru. He's heard. And by hearing, he has changed. He has changed his perspective, his value system. My life is now about a change of consciousness. That's my ultimate ambition. It's not satisfying all the desires that are born from the false ego, the false conception. My dear friend, he who gives a person his physical birth is his first spiritual master. And he who initiates him as a twice-born Brahmin and engages him in religious duties is indeed more directly his spiritual master. But the person who bestows transcendental knowledge upon the members of all the spiritual orders of society is one's ultimate spiritual master. Indeed, he is as good as myself. So he's glorifying him for taking shelter of his spiritual master. He gives a progression here. The parents are important. They're the first spiritual master, especially the mother. Up until the age of five, the nurturing influence is the main spiritual master. And then one who gets initiated and then is engaged in all sorts of religious and duties, societal duties, is even more. But one who is Jnana, the bestower of divine knowledge, to the Ashraminam, and that person is the most dear to Krishna because he's most in tune with fulfilling the desire of Krishna in this world, which is to give knowledge. Because we're here due to ignorance. Suffering is due to ignorance. So one who gives knowledge is representing Krishna. Because the world is for enlightenment, and we're to be enlightened. And there's no one more dear to Krishna than one who does that. Namo Brahmanya Devaya Go Brahmana Itaya Cha Jagaditaya Krishnaya Govindaya Namo Namo. That the Brahmins and the cows are most dear to Krishna because they're so pivotal in the culture necessary to change people's consciousness. That's the most important thing. How much time do we spend on it? Because we won't become happy unless the consciousness has changed. So how much time do we spend on that? And those who can assist us the most in doing that are playing the most important role in Krishna's creation. Everything else is to make us peaceful so we can have that contact with people who can educate us on every level. Not the other things are not important, but they're important for a reason. They're important because they can make our mind peaceful and receptive to that spiritual message from teachers who are qualified to both learn that message and disseminate it by their qualities. Here he's saying that person is the most important. Not the parents, of course. It is the parents when they perform that role. But this is the most important thing. Oh, certainly, O Brahman, of all the followers of the Varnashram system, those who take advantage of the words I speak, my form as the spiritual master, and thus easily cross over the ocean of material existence, best understand their own true welfare. You may be in any... He was saying, it was so interesting, he was saying to him, you have to be situated properly. But now he's saying more important than being situated properly. Vanasamabhatam, among those engaged in this Vanashram system. Ardhakovida, one who is really learned in what is true welfare of all the followers. The Guruna, the Guruna Vacha, the Vacha, the words through the Guru, the words through the teacher, those who take advantage of that, they can cross over the ocean of material existence. And you take words because that's, in other words, we're part of something greater than ourselves. And what our part is depends on the desire of what is greater than ourselves. That voice of what is greater than ourselves, the words that which is greater than ourselves, God speaks, are spoken in the form of the spiritual master. And one who links with that, he easily crosses over the ocean of material existence, and that's what Prabhupada taught. Visayatmika buddhi, a.k.a. ha kuru nandana, ushankayanatascha. One should execute Krishna consciousness with resolute determination. And Prabhupada, reading Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on that, where he says one should take the words of the spiritual master of one's life and soul, because it represents the world of Krishna. So this is very important instruction here. For the Brahmins being glorified, not only Brahmins, but the whole culmination of spiritual sojourn is coming in contact with the words of Krishna in the form of the spiritual master. And when one takes shelter of those words, one takes shelter of one's spiritual identity. And that's bhakti. When one surrenders to the spiritual master, one changes one's consciousness from material to spiritual. I read someplace the example, someone said, like in Indian culture, a young girl is the daughter of her father, and that's her identity. She's daughter. When she gets married, as soon as that commitment is there, her main identity then becomes wife. So bhakti means this change of identity. That change of identity is in relationship with the spiritual master. And if one does that, then he's liberated. Therefore, Prabhupada said the process is simple. The application is difficult because one has to surrender. Purport, one's father is a natural object of reverence, as is a religious leader who initiates one into sacred ceremonies, instruct one in general wisdom. But ultimately, the bona fide spiritual master learned in the transcendental science and must be able to take one across the ocean of birth and death to the spiritual world. Such a guru is most deserving of worship and respect, for he is the direct representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I'll stop here now. Are there any questions? Okay, if anyone would like to say hello, I'd welcome that.
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. This is Kale.
Hi, Krishna. Kale.
If I can, I have two questions.
Okay, go ask me.
Okay. The first one is this point that you were making about ritual. I think maybe I need like a specific example. And if you could just like elaborate on the point that you're actually trying to make about ritual.
Yeah. It's just like we pay obeisances when we see the teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
When we come to the deity, we should not come empty-handed. Various types of forms of action that we follow, the etiquette. We stand up when someone who's senior comes. So all these things are based on respecting God and respecting something higher than ourselves. So it's very, very healthy spiritually. Just look at the thing of just serving elders, and it's just so healthy, that type of culture. And when it's lacking, it's very hard for people to get bhakti. Because without ritual, we can just stay in. And I'm talking about ritual that has some kind of meaning or understanding in this regard. We just stay in that self-centered consciousness. Without some form of ritual, some form of etiquette, we just stay in that self-centered consciousness. And it also, in Vaishnav culture, protects us from offense. Or, Mangal Artik. There's a ritual we do. You glorify the spiritual master, you sing certain prayers. You circumambulate the temple. So all these things are God-centered for us. But both also, not just the direct emotional ones, but the culture itself. You get up in the morning and you touch your mother's and father's feet. All these things, you look at them all, they all have the same thing. They're trying to move people from an identity of self-absorption. Okay?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
The other thing, can I ask?
Yeah, you got it.
You were saying the gradations of, like, guru. And the last two, they seemed pretty similar because, you know, they're both giving knowledge. Is it just a matter of numbers, you know, like the spiritual matter?
No, because it's talking about here in a particular society, you have kind of like a family guru, right? And you get your Brahmin thread, you get certain rituals and certain karmic activities. You know, it's mostly varnashram karmic activities and rituals. But then we're talking here about a spiritual guru who's instructing you on transcendental subjects in the soul. Another guru may instruct you on the functions of rituals and different things within the society. It's not as important as someone who's actually giving you transcendental knowledge. Because you also need gurus to regulate the varnashram society and teach one's duties and prayers and worship. So that's good. It's important. He's not saying it's not important. But it's not as important as a person who's representing spiritual knowledge. In our society, it's one. But in that type of conception, then it may not be. You get your Brahmin initiation when you're 12 years old through your family guru. It's not that you surrendered your life to God. You know, but then later you have to find that type of guru where you can surrender your life to God. Okay, Gail?
Yeah, so the second one is more like more on a material level, and the third one deals with the soul.
Yeah, I would say that's well put. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Some people call me up and tell me somehow they couldn't unmute the phone. But anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Balmaraj.
Mr. Guru Maharaj, the Gurdwara Bhaktadas.
Okay, I heard. Okay, Govardhan, thanks. Wonderful program at Govardhan's yesterday. We had about 100 people. And a wonderful program. Thank you. And Shastra, hi, Bo. Couldn't make it over Friday. It's really too far after you explain the instructions here. But I'll get over and visit you some other time when I have more time. I'd like to come out there.
Okay. Thank you, Mara.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi,
Bo. Is that Marl and Stella?
Hi, Bo Maharaj, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, wonderful class.
Always just nice to be in this Sangha. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj. It's Chris in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Chris. I got to get out there. I'm getting a lot of letters from the Harrisburg Rathiatra Committee. Somehow
that would be great.
Coordinated and get it out there. And thanks for that article about Graham. It's going to be interesting to see how that develops. Good. Thanks.
Yeah, Chris. Yeah.
Good. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we can end now. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Bunch of culprits, this second.